始まるざますよ。
行くでガンス。
ふんが
まともに始めなさいよ。
You're listening to Anime Diet Radio, episode number 22. I can no longer think of any clever or witty age references to go along with 22.
It's just a boring year. 22 is, you know, just boring.
Exactly.
You're graduating from college. What are you talking about, man? You have your whole life ahead of you, son. What are you going to do?
I'm going to go to Otakon.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that wasn't my first guess, but...
In either case, I'm your host, Michael Huang. Please introduce yourselves, everybody else.
And this is Raymond Hugh from Taipei. It's nice and sunny, and it's freaking humid and dusty inside.
Oh, jeez. And I'm actually reporting in from Washington, D.C., where it is also sunny and hot and humid, but not quite so dusty.
This is Jeremy from Redondo Beach, where actually it's pretty comfortable.
That's why I moved to Southern California.
Damn you! You live in the nicest place among us all! I'm gonna invade your home!
Exactly.
Pretty much the only reason I stay in California.
Yeah, exactly. So, today we have a fairly interesting show. It's actually been about a month since we recorded episode number 21, which was about getting plastered. We have a couple of news items up ahead. We're going to talk a little bit about the remake of the Ghost in the Shell movie, the first one, in which our favorite artsy director turns into George Lucas.
What?
The second.
Yes. Least likely person you would have expected. And about the U.S. Navy apparently making a manga. and it actually looks rather interesting for some really odd reason.
You know why I didn't want to say anything at all?
Why?
Come on, it's in the Navy. It's a manga. I mean, can you imagine the female doujinshi for that?
And if it was an anime, you could easily have a great soundtrack by the Village People.
Oh, well, yaoi porn anime, you mean?
It could be a secret outreach for the U.S. To reach out to yaoi fangirls. Who knows? Hello, sailor.
Oh. Sounds like the title of one of those yaoi manga. Like, like, how would you know that?
That's actually an old reference. This is total geekery. That was actually one of the little hidden keywords in the text adventure Zork back from the 80s. If you typed in Hello Sailor, you would like get this joke on the screen or something like that. It's one of those old text adventure games where you had to... There was no graphics. You typed everything. Yeah.
I have to say I'm old enough to remember those. I just don't remember that reference, though. That's interesting.
But Hello Sailor, of course, is a homosexual mating call, and the joke that appeared on Zork was reference to that. So
nice.
Wow. Yeah. How old are you guys? I don't know anything about that.
I'm not old. I'm just a geek.
Yeah, Mike was probably just playing it way later.
Yeah, I actually got it in a Zork collection, apparently.
Yes, the infamous Zork collection.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it included, like, the most recent Zork game, which was, like, made for 486s with, like, VGA graphics. But it also had a disc including all the old, like, text adventure games as well. Yeah.
But some people like to live in the Stone Age and doesn't want to play with graphics with women with jiggling boobs. Oh, my God. What kind of geek are you?
It's all your imagination. It always looks better in your imagination.
It was, you know, green text, you know, in the shape of... jiggly boobs done in antsy graphics.
Oh my god. Yeah. You're describing some kind of sci-fi monster show.
Or it could just be Leisure Suit Larry.
You know, we took what we could get at that point.
Exactly.
There's something called Bishoujo Games now. They're actually available in the United States. Look it up!
Yeah, look it up, readers. We won't say anything more about them. we have a brief mailbag. And finally, we have a roundtable section, which... if we get to it, is not even going to be about an anime. So stay tuned. Mm-hmm. And why don't we go ahead and move on to our first news item. You're listening to Anime Diet Radio.
Mm-hmm.
in 1995, I was still a kid. I had actually been to Japan, I think, in that year. And and one of the biggest movies that year, it was reviewed favorably even by Roger Ebert. I remember this showing up in the Washington Post, was Ghost in the Shell, a little anime movie with a major who likes to wear invisible body armor falling down on buildings. And it was supposedly a cartoon for smart people. Being young at the time and being not really much of a moviegoer, I didn't watch it then. But I did watch it in college. I watched it three times. And I never quite understood the appeal of it that time, though I can appreciate it intellectually. I was even able to write a paper about it later, actually. Well, Mamoru Oshii, of course, is a rather artsy director and rather pretentious, if you ask me. And so he would be the last person I would normally ever accuse of being like George Lucas.
Especially, he doesn't have the helpful white hair and a freaking beard.
Exactly. Well, what a day to be proven wrong. Because, apparently, Mamoru Oshii has agreed and is redoing the first Ghost in the Shell movie. And when I say redoing, I don't mean redoing as in completely reanimating everything like Hideaki Anno is doing with the EVA movies. He's just going to spruce up all the CGI. He's going to make lots of stuff more 3D instead of 2D. So lots of the vehicles and other things like that are all now going to be 3D. And if you look at the before and after pictures in the Anime News Network link, he likes to make things an awful lot a shade darker, like in terms of shading and lighting.
I'm curious, because this may sway me a bit. Kusanagi's boobs, are they going to be in 3D?
Damn, you took that question right out of my mouth.
I channeled the spirit of Ray.
Indeed. Well, who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if he did. He's also remixing the music.
But the problem is they're going to have little basset hound heads that go in front of the nipple.
Yeah, because as Oshii is absolutely obsessed with basset hounds. They've shown up in pretty much every one of his movies, and especially in the second Ghost in the Shell film. And
these are dogs, right?
Yeah, basset hounds are dogs.
Oh, okay.
Big dogs with big flappy ears.
Actually, they're really huge gerbils.
Yeah. And he's actually also going to be remixing the music into 6.1 audio mix, and actually all the voice acting apparently is going to be redone for that remix. Most of the original cast is back, except for the Puppet Master, oddly enough. That's going to get a different voice actor.
Actress. She's Sylvia in... Bubblegum Crisis, the original.
Which is really interesting, because if I recall correctly, the Puppet Master in the original was male, had a male voice.
Yeah, that's right. It's a woman, and she's a prime minister in the TV series of Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost Standalone Complex, that's right.
Right.
So that's actually a marked different change. If you ask me, that's like putting Hayden Christensen at the end of The Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah. No!
Yeah, I'm surprised, Mamoru Oshii didn't want to hire Jar Jar Binks to do some voice acting.
Exactly.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Misa, Jar Jar Binks! Misa, control your body!
Wait, who was the guy that did Jar Jar Binks' voice? I don't even know. Like, it doesn't even matter. Does anybody really want to know?
No.
Except in Germany. You know, Jar Jar Binks was huge in Germany. I had these Germans.
Whoa.
We're talking about how bad, some of the friends of the Star Wars, movies were, and they were like, "Oh, what are you talking about? Those movies are great. We love Jar Jar Binks. He's huge in our country. He's so funny."
Well, there's no telling about German taste, given that they love David Hasselhoff too. So,
yeah, there you go.
Because they're just not funny, man. So anything that remotely appears to be funny at all, they think it's funny.
Yeah, I think it could be a cultural thing. I mean, I remember watching anime and not really understanding like Japanese references in early anime, and just really getting a kick out of like, what the hell? What that's hilarious. What's going on here? I don't get it, but it's hilarious.
Exactly. And so it's really kind of funny why he's doing this at this time, especially since that there's already a successful, Ghost in the Shell, like, separate franchise, the TV, like, the Standalone Complex franchise, which, in my opinion, is actually, on the whole, a lot better than the movies. they don't give up the intelligence that the movies are clearly trying to reach for. They do a very good job exploring the mind-body problem in many ways. But they're also a lot more entertaining to watch. They have Yoko Kanno writing the music. I mean, though I will say that the original soundtrack by Kenji Kawai in the movies is also excellent. That was actually one of the best parts of the movie, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Kenji. I don't know, maybe they're just trying to milk it for all it's worth.
Yeah. I mean, what shocks me is that somebody like Oshii would do it, quite frankly. Oshii at least struck me as being somebody who would not sell out in that manner. Like, he's the kind of person who likes to be willfully obscure as to, to deliberately make things confusing and to make things hard.
Worse than Anno?
Oh, a lot worse than Anno. Much worse than Anno. And even Anno has repudiated that, if the new Eva movie is of any indication, so...
Perhaps he's just taking up heroin or something.
Exactly. And so, yeah, you're going to be, one of the main things that they're going to replace everywhere is that you might remember all the computer screens were in kind of that green, monochrome green, back in the original movie.
One of the cooler things about it.
Yeah, and that's all going to be replaced.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it going to be the blue screen of death?
Who knows? I didn't know that they were running Windows even then.
They're all going to say Windows Vista.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
No, I have no idea.
They're going to say an unknown error has appeared. The system will now reboot while the major is diving. And she's like, fuck, I'm trapping Windows. The worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What the hell is this? I can't even game on it.
The funny thing is that... If you look at, there's a before and after picture of the Major who is about to take a dive down into the city. It's a very famous sequence. Mm-hmm. In the old one, they actually bothered to animate a huge amount of the background details. Like, you can see, streets running below and lots of lighting differences. But if you look at the new one, it's just it's all this shiny CGI, but it's actually less detailed than the original, which strikes me as being very strange. I wouldn't necessarily call that an improvement.
So which one's the before and which one's the after?
The before is the one on the bottom. The new version is the one on top.
What the hell?
Exactly. Actually, at first, I couldn't tell. I thought the one on the top was the one before.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I think they're getting poorer.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're getting a lot poorer.
I know.
Wow.
I mean, if you ask me, one is very clearly superior to the other, and it's not the new one. So.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Anime Diet has passed its verdict.
Guilty.
Of suckdom.
Guilty of being Lucasian.
Oh, the big word. The big word, man. Yeah. It's the big word. Word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which for all those listeners without a dictionary means it blows goats for quarters.
We sentence Mamoru Oshii to 100 repeated continuous viewings of the South Park episode Free Hat, which was also about... That was an episode about Lucas and Spielberg ruining remake all their remakes. And then it ends with Lucas and Spielberg's heads exploding, just like in Raiders.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, in either case, shame on you, Mamoru Oshii. And we'll go ahead and move on to the next infamous news item. When you think of propaganda, do you think of manga? Apparently the U.S. Navy had a brilliant idea. They wanted to sort of publicize the mission of their battleships, which are being stationed in Japan, I think primarily in Okinawa. And so they decided to make, of course, the one medium which controls pretty much the entire Japanese publishing market these days, which is manga. They wanted to produce a story about a Japanese-American sailor on the USS, I believe it's the USS Kitty Hawk. Is that correct? And, yeah, Kitty
what?
Hawk. Yeah, Kitty Hawk, yeah. And,
Washington, dude. And he was not gay, so we think.
Yeah, and, and apparently there is actually a sappy romance in the manga, from what I've been told.
Oh, wow.
Between him and his, I believe it's
dentist!
Not sure it's a dentist. I know that one of the first characters...
Admiral?
I think the main plot involves him rediscovering his Japanese heritage while he's in Japan, as well as falling in love with one of his shipmates. I believe it is actually female. Sorry, Yaoi fangirls, despite the fact that these are sailors.
Yeah, because, you know, the Admiral giving a command to his private to get below deck, soldier, could take on a whole new meaning.
Well,
he's private. He's private.
They don't call them privates in the Navy, I don't think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Seamen?
Or if they're lower ranking junior, if they're stationed on the battleship there, I think they're ensigns. So you have to be a low grade officer, I think, to serve on a battleship.
Ensigns, man, like that wimpy Wesley Crusher on Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Ensign.
That make
Crusher.
A great uke anyways.
They should have called him Seaman though, really.
Yeah.
Seaman Crusher.
Shut up, Wesley. Now that we've completely revealed our Star Trek nerddom, apparently they got a real Japanese artist and a real Japanese writer to actually produce this free 200-page manga, which you can actually download as a PDF in English and in Japanese. We'll be providing the link for that. And the artwork is actually pretty decent, especially if you like Osamu Tezuka. It's very Tezuka-like. The eyes, the shape of the characters' faces is definitely very much a... I think it's modeled after Tezuka's manga characters.
And it comes with your free CD of In the Navy.
Exactly.
Sang by four Japanese people who dress up like the village people.
Yeah, and then they take off their costumes and we find out it's actually Yata. Which,
there you go.
Exactly.
Green Leaves.
They really are the Japanese village people, aren't they? In some ways.
I like Green Leech. They're funny guys.
Yeah. Well, they are. They are pretty funny. And, I assume most of us, most of you are listening, we know Yata, but we're fine. Should we provide the link? Should we?
They can Google it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I guess the thing is that actually in Japan, there is a fairly long tradition of using manga to do public service type announcements. I know instruction booklets are often printed in manga. Companies often issue guidelines in manga format.
Okay, this is how you take off the bra of the girl. First, you get behind her, and then you squeeze the buttons.
Is the manual for a brothel? What is that?
It's more like the kind of manga they would probably sell in a maid cafe in Akihabara.
Yeah, that will be more like, here's what not to do at the maid cafe.
Yeah.
Not go for the maid's ass.
Yeah. I've always thought that another idea for a good public service manga would be to do a fake harem comedy. It would start like a fake harem comedy. It would have all your character archetypes. You'd have the really, the shy moe character. You would have the tsundere. You would have all that stuff. But then it would turn out to be a really harsh lesson on sexually transmitted diseases.
Oops.
Like, it would be like a sequel to School Days or something like that with Makoto starring Makoto. And he would get his comeuppance that way. And he'd be dying alone with VD in the gutter.
Now, that'd be an instruction booklet of how not to misuse your red ink.
Yes, exactly.
Black ink, I'm sorry.
Black ink, rather. Though if you want the red ink accident, you need to go buy the DVD. Yes.
Make a great stocking stuffer, even though it's not Christmas, for your boyfriends as well as your girlfriends.
Right. So if your girls, if you suspect your guy is cheating on you, yeah, that would make a perfect gift. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. He'll get the message. He will get the message.
And leave town.
And geeks, if there is a girl that you like and you know that she doesn't like you and she likes this hot guy, give her a copy of that.
Yeah, exactly. They need to produce a male and a female version. And so it will be equal opportunity for all genders.
But anyway, back to gays in the Navy.
Yeah. I guess it's nice that the U.S. Navy, it's kind of funny because the volume, actually, the first page of the volume is like a letter, like from an admiral endorsing it. Like, and he sounds like a pretty stuffy admiral who like is like, did we really authorize this? Kind of thing, kind of vibe going on.
I've got to do what?
Yeah. For some reason, it reminds me of that. There was an episode in Evangelion where they had the American Navy come out. And try to think they can take on the angel on their own, but they can't. And yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's the only time that the invisible Navy of the United States couldn't do anything. The only time.
I know. I suspect there was a hidden glee in watching all these like Navy battleships sink by the Angel.
Oh, I'm sure.
I know.
Those... You know those Skynex people were inspired by Starship Yamato, right?
Yes, they actually, I know, they were, in fact. That was actually why, I forgot which characters are...
Gunbuster.
Named after them. That's right, yeah.
I mean, look at those guys in Gunbuster. You have the Imperial Navy mm-hmm. in space. Come on now.
Exactly. And so, because Japan's Navy was like the pride of Japan in World War II, and like Admiral Yamamoto was like the one like enemy that the United States like military feared in World War II because he knew what he was doing. Compared to like a lot of the other guys, so yeah, for sure. So, but it looks like the U.S. Navy, of course, is now you know taking care of that for Japan, and they want to. There's of course been several controversies lately, as you might know, right? With I believe it was in fact somebody stationed in the Navy who got convicted of like sexually molesting a 12-year-old girl in Okinawa.
Oh,
yeah. So this is probably part of a public campaign to improve their
image. You mean an American turned lolicon?
Yeah, I think that's what Japan does to some people.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, and tell everyone the name of this sailor, of this main character. Protagonist.
Oh, yeah, in the manga? Yeah.
Yes. Tell everyone the name.
Jack O'Hara, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jack O'Hara, if that wasn't stereotypical enough, I wonder if he carries around a flask of whiskey with him.
Wait, I don't understand. What stereotype is this?
The
guy named Jack? Guy's named Jack carries flasks?
Jack O'Hara. Irish, come on.
Oh, O'Hara. Come on. Or O'Hara. Oh, I see. With an apostrophe. Yeah. I think it part of it just doesn't really help that Japan happens to use a sailor uniform too, but for other purposes.
For middle school girls.
For purposes that we otaku know probably way too much about. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess O'Hara could work as a Japanese-American name, but it's just more funny to think about him being a stewed Irish sailor. Just more stereotypical.
Yeah.
But actually, in the story, he is supposed to be a Japanese American. So.
And he rediscovers his Japanese heritage. I believe that is actually the main plot.
Oh.
It's like he goes to Japan and he tries to find a long lost relative.
While drinking lots of whiskey.
Yeah.
Now, we're drinking lots of sake, eating sushi, and swearing Japanese, and it says, oh my, all day.
Yeah, and of course, I've known some guys who are in the Navy, and no battleship would be complete with a huge like stash of porn hidden away from somewhere. So,
Japanese porn in this case.
In this case, yes, as well as imports.
Oh yeah, big Russian women, blonde Russian women with big boobs.
The Japanese seem to love that stuff too. You know, it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
They like them. They like everything. They like everything.
I'm telling you, man. At the end of the story. At the end of the story, this sailor is he's just gonna become a chikan, a lolicon, and an otaku.
Yeah, that's what happens when you stay too long in Japan, folks. So any servicemen who are stationed over there, we warned you first.
We'll welcome you into our ranks, but please do not get caught.
Yeah, don't make us look bad already. We've already had one nasty thing happen to us last week, so don't make us look any worse. In either case, why don't we go ahead and move on to our...
Moving along!
Before this turns even more tawdry than it usually already is, I think we need to go ahead and move on to some pleasant email that we received. Alright.
Got a box full of letters. Think you might like to read. Some things that you might like to see, but they're all addressed to me.
You're listening to And we're here to talk a little bit about some of your feedback, your reader mail. So this is the mailbag section. We actually have one message from Jake, who left it actually in two episodes ago in episode 20, 20th Century Fox Spirits. And Jake is a listener from Germany, apparently. He says...
Yay!
Yeah, so please don't take Jeremy's comments in the previous section personally.
Yes, we talk smack about everybody, including ourselves. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
I did mention they were my friends, right? I love German people. I love to laugh at them.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, in all in fun and in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent beer, excellent food. Oh, I love those pig knuckles. And they're better than French.
My first drinking experience was in Germany with German beer and with sake. Oh. So I got the best
in
the beginning.
Okay, so you know what?
Yeah.
Like you said, that whole thing about having waited till you're 21, at least you did it right.
Exactly. At least I did it right. So take that, Marmot, but we're going to get to her later. So, Jake says, hi there. I just wanted to thank you guys for your great show and effort. You've got fans everywhere, even in Germany, where I come from. I really enjoy listening to your podcast. I appreciate your comments and introductions to all these new shows each season. I've really enjoyed some of your tips, as, for example, Ghost Hound. I hope that someday anime in Germany will be at least as popular as in the U.S. It's hard to find any anime on TV besides some rare ones on MTV Germany, Gantz, Helsing, and Junk, and 10-time reruns like Dragon Ball, Naruto, and One Piece. Awesome. Luckily, some movie theaters are beginning to tune up to new ideas. They are making special shows with some anime DVDs like Neon Genesis Evangelion or now Elven Light. Well, so much from abroad. Keep up the superb work, Jake. Oh, by the way, if Mike Gendo Ikari runs for world leadership, he will have some votes from Germany, too. I'll take care of that. Evil laughter.
Yes. What you're supposed to be doing. What you're supposed to be doing right now.
Exactly. He's not running away now.
Oh, I get it. Mike, you're the next Antichrist.
You know, I got to say, though, I don't know about Germany. I was trying to confirm this, and as far as having not, he says not as, anime not being as popular there, I got to say, the fans there seem to be pretty intense. I know at least from the perspective of cosplayers, having somewhat recently perused cosplay.com for this cosplay project I'm working on with some friends, a lot of the cosplayers from just any part of, I guess it would be Western Europe?
Yeah.
Western Europe?
Yeah.
And Germany in particular, I've seen some really incredible cosplays. So they may not it may not be as mainstream popular, but the fans there are pretty seem to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
So hey, I said something nice about Germany.
Yes, exactly. Your comments, first of all, are greatly, greatly appreciated. We're very grateful for you listening, and thank you for your very, very kind comments. And yes, I can count on you as my loyal minion in that part of the world. And
that's what I said, man. Like, in the Bible, like, somebody will take over the world, man. That's you. You'll have support from Europe.
Yeah, especially because I'm a seminary student. I've been pulling the wool over everybody's eyes. So, yeah.
So, should we say?
What?
Dankeschön?
Yeah, Dankeschön.
Yes.
I actually, Jake, I actually took a little bit of German in a couple of summers ago. Theological German. In my seminary, I actually can sort of pronounce things correctly, sort of. I really can't read anymore because my teacher was pretty bad and he didn't really teach us grammar very well, so it would probably take me a bit of catching up if I wanted to read German. But yes, Dankeschön, and that's a very, and we really appreciate you coming around and keep listening and keep finding some new anime, because unfortunately we're not going to be able to recommend any anime today. So, why don't we go ahead and move on to the next little comment? This was for the last episode, episode 21, Getting Plastered. It was in response to me admitting that I actually never drank anything alcoholic until 21, and it's true. But Ray, why don't you go ahead and read the comment?
Yes, our dear lady friend Mama said, no idea if the last comment got posted or not, so I'm reposting. Oh, why did I say that? Oh, that's right, maybe I am drunk too. But in any case, yeah, here's what she said. Giggle. 21. I think the first time I got shit-faced was when I was 11. Damn, it was hardcore. But seriously, I love you guys. I should totally download this Hearts.
Well, shall we raise a toast to our favorite drunken girl, Marvin?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, well, like a woman drunk, right?
Yeah. That reminds me of this line from a Death Cab for Cutie song. You're so cute when you're slurring your speech. And it's,
oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Speaking of Death Cab, I think the Mike's rendition needs a little trip to the Death Cab there. But hey.
Yeah. No, seriously.
Make it the point.
Seriously, of course, we heart you back. And please, and I hope you have downloaded it since then. And you've listened to us, of course.
Hope you enjoyed the episode, because we were pretty funny.
Yeah, I actually like that episode. And actually, I think we're doing a pretty good job on this one, too. So.
We hope. We're funny and humorous and entertaining in our own mind.
Exactly. I already gave you, of course, a much more serious kind of response in the comment right below. So,
right.
You know, this is the humor response. And from all three of us.
Right, but seriously, thanks for listening, and it's good.
Well, yeah, and first of all, welcome back, I think. Right. It's even more appropriate, because we hadn't seen you for quite a long time. So, welcome back. Hope you enjoy we're going to be redesigning our site pretty soon, so everything will be nice and shiny, and even more enjoyable, hopefully, for you.
Was that a pseudo-announcement? Was that sort of like a...
Well, less a pseudo-announcement, and more kind of a... Actually, I guess it is, in a way. Like, well, that's kind of in the works, so you guys get to...
A non-official?
Non-official, because I have no idea when it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just rest assured that I have been working on it. I actually did announce it in the Twitter. I said that I've been working on a prototype for a new site.
Right.
So anyone who's read the Twitter would know. Yeah, the Twitter has actually been very useful, mostly for me and for Ray, and because I get to tell everybody why I'm not posting. And giving nice little excuses. But I'm no longer a full-time student, by the way. So that means I have more time for this website, hopefully.
Yay.
In either case, that is actually the whole mailbag section. We didn't get too many, but the ones that we got are nice, short, and sweet. So thank you, everybody. Mm-hmm. Keep commenting. Keep listening. And we love you guys, too. So.
Yeah. You're so cute when you're slurring your speech, but they're closing.
You're listening to Anime Diet Radio, and this now is the time for our usual roundtable. 90% of the time, we usually do the roundtable in order to talk about the most recent anime that's being shown. But because I was really busy and everybody was really busy, I think most of us are actually really behind on our anime watching. Is that true?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, like
I caught up to all the junk.
Well,
but now the good stuff.
And so, really, we actually wanted to talk, however, we're going to be a little more serious now. This has been a relatively, I think we've been really unserious, even by our standard, for most of this episode today. But we wanted to pause now, and we want to talk about probably, you know, the biggest news that's come out of the anime otaku world in Japan, you know, in a very long time. Of course, and I'm referring to the Akihabara massacre that occurred last week. I don't know if there's anybody who doesn't know what it is, basically, but basically a very depressed and possibly deranged or crazed man, you know, drove a truck into pedestrians on Sunday afternoon at the height of the pedestrian shopping, you know, time in Akihabara. He ran over some people, and then he jumped out of the truck and he started stabbing people, like, randomly. And in the end, 7 people died, and about 14 people were injured. The man was an unemployed factory worker who apparently did have a few connections into the world of fandom, though I don't think it would be accurate to call him an otaku, necessarily. At the very least, he had been to Akihabara before. He had made some anime-style drawings in his notebook all the way back in middle school, I believe. It was from the game Tales of Destiny.
And why the hell does it ever said that? I thought he was just a psychopath.
He is in many ways, he is a psychopath. I don't think that those are mutually exclusive in many ways. And you know, this news story, of course, has made it into the international news. It was on the front page of all the major U.S. newspapers. And so this is a big event. And yeah, and it's just really, really, really sad. I mean, to be cut down in the heart of fandom is just... Yeah,
I'm telling you, they might have died in paradise. But this son of a bitch, demon, yoma, whatever it is... I refuse to call this person a person. This is gonna go to hell. He's gonna basically get that get that. He's basically going to dream of Yoma eating his guts every waking moment and getting his ass kicked and raped and wuget and over and over and over and over again. And he's going to live a very long time every day with torments. I sincerely hope. If he gets away with insanity.
Well, it's probably unlikely that he will get away with insanity, however, because apparently he posted messages ahead of time announcing that he was going to kill people in Akihabara several days in advance, and he sold money so he could rent the truck, and he bought knives in preparation for the event as well, so that pretty much qualifies as premeditated first-degree murder. And Japan is also one of the few, you know, westernized modern countries that still has the death penalty. And so he will very certainly be executed, I think.
Oh, good.
By hanging, which is the method that they use for execution in Japan. Yeah. And so that is I cannot be the final judge of his soul, but I can fairly, with fair certainty, say that he will be punished by the death penalty. And I don't think there's also very much question that he is guilty. He has admitted.
You know, what really confuses me about this whole thing is that you know, you could see maybe he might have been. One of the things that in my reading was that he said that he was angry about his strict family. He was angry because his job sucked. He had all these problems at work, so on and so forth. He considered himself probably somewhat of a failure because he went to, like, a decently prestigious school, but then, like, did really terrible. And so, you know, he's a pretty angry person, but, like, I don't understand why he would take it out on, like, quote-unquote, like, his own people. Like, you know, if he... I wouldn't say it's any better. It's just as bad, you know, but it kind of would have made a little more sense if he'd went to, like, maybe a more upscale area where it's a lot of, you know, affluent, fashionable, trendy
Shibuya.
People. People that were, you know, had the money, had the prestige, had the all the things that he maybe would have liked to have had. I don't know, maybe he didn't, but, you know, the people that would be, you know, undoubtedly looking down on quote-unquote otakus. And I wouldn't necessarily call him among our ranks, but obviously he's, you know, a fan of some of these things. Why didn't he instead go there? That's what I'm not saying he should have went there, but it would have actually been made a little more sense. It doesn't make sense to me that he went into Akihabara.
That's what I thought too. I would think he would go to like Shinjuku, or maybe he's afraid of Yakuza. Fine, then maybe he goes to Shibuya, kill all his kids.
The funny thing is that the initial news reports did, in fact, indicate that he may have been a Yakuza. And the reason for that was because he initially claimed that he was a gangster.
Oh, come on. One look at this guy and you can tell he's no gangster.
I know, exactly. He retracted that later. So
Even by Japanese standards, I mean.
Exactly. It's kind of hard to believe.
He could be otaku, could be Anno. Look, people like him have made Evangelion. They have become, or at the least, they have bought stuff and play Bishoujo games, jacked off, watch anime, and they were fine.
My guess is that he didn't have much of an outlet, though. Like, a lot of those things are outlets for people. And
look,
in a way,
people turn into otakus, and he turned into a rampaging Yoma. What can I say?
What I'm trying to understand, too, is how he was able to go around. I mean, understand maybe did he, and I'm not totally clear on this, I guess, but the majority of the people that died were people that he hit or were people that he stabbed, and how was he able to go around stabbing all these people? Obviously, like, one of them was in, I think one of them was an older person, I thought.
74 years old, man.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, and that's just sick right there. I mean, you know, it's like some poor, helpless old guy, you know what I mean? How was he able to basically have no one? Because he doesn't look like a tough guy. You know, he has a knife, but come on, I mean.
Well, actually, one of the people who was injured, who didn't die, well, he actually he stabbed a police officer who was trying to restrain him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How did he pull that off?
I know, exactly. It's
when a person goes insane, man, the person gets three to four times the strength.
Right, but. Wow, but in the policemen, like a lot of the policemen there, don't carry guns, do they? They carry like sticks and stuff.
No, actually, no, they had guns then. They were threatening to shoot him. They had guns.
How did he get away with stabbing? Because, you know, here, you go after a policeman, man, and you just, like, he's busting a cap in your ass. Oh. Pure and simple.
You don't even have, even if you don't have a weapon, they'll shoot in the United States.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you're trying to assault the police officer and they're telling you to stand down.
Yeah.
And just signed your own death warrant, a death penalty, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you wonder whether he was actually trying to commit suicide. Commit suicide by cop. That's what we call it. And that's been known to happen in America quite a bit sometimes. And but in either case, what I heard actually was that the whole attack happened within 5 minutes. Like, they were able to restrain him after 5 minutes.
I guess that might make sense if he was quickly run around just, like, stabbing people before they had a chance to react.
Yeah, they were all probably in shock and, like, unable, just kind of paralyzed. And I think that would be a normal, natural reaction to something that shocking, especially in that neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah, that neighborhood just has not seen violence, of that kind at all. I mean, violence of that kind at all, I mean, doesn't happen in Japan very often, period. It's a huge shock when it does.
Right.
And so... I'm sure that I've heard some people, and I think they're being unfair here, speculating that, you know, the fact that no one came to restrain him quickly enough is a sign of how people in Japan tend to be bystanders when bad things happen. And
that's not untrue. That is not untrue.
I think there must be a grain of truth. That there's something about the cultural psyche.
Ray, you've been there. I've never been there, but everything that I've seen, at least, you know, read and heard from talking to people, it tends to indicate that more often is the case, but it is not necessarily the rule, but it's, you know, higher probability.
Mm. You're talking about the most passive people on the planet, probably. None of them are going to do anything. We're not talking about, like, some old guy who's harassing a girl. And Otaku says, I mustn't run away, I mustn't run away, I mustn't run away. No, we're talking about some demon with a sword, with a knife, with a hunting knife, whatever.
Right,
a
survival knife, yeah. It's
right.
It actually, did you guys ever watch I think it was the third episode of Kuranai. There's a very interesting scene that really reminds me of this whole thing. In the third episode of Kuranai, Shinkuro, the main guy, and the little girl,
on the train.
Murasaki are on the train.
Right.
And a bunch of these, like, high school delinquents basically harass this old lady to give up her seat.
Oh.
And basically, Murasaki is really outraged by that, and she wants to do something to stop it. She starts yelling. She, like, goes up to those boys and starts yelling at them and tells them, hey, you're not supposed to do that. You know, that's wrong, blah, blah, blah. And, like, Shinkuro is deeply embarrassed. He's basically trying to pull her away. It's like, no, don't do that. You know, and he, like, tries to basically say, like, he's, like, trying to appease the bullies. It's like, she's really young. She doesn't know what she's talking about and like that. And he looks really cowardly and really, like, abased there.
That's because he's supposed to be protecting her. They're supposed to keep the secret.
Right.
The identity's a secret.
Exactly. And but at the same time, he's clearly, like, not standing up. I mean, the thing is that, you're supposed to feel really torn up about that because Murasaki is clearly, at least morally speaking, in the right. And she yells at him later on for that. Like, there's a whole argument they have later on. And it's like, and the answers that he gives is like, I don't want to make trouble. That wasn't the right time to do it.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah. Look, if he found this guy in the alley later, they're little kids, he ain't going to kill them, but he can kick their asses.
Yeah, I mean, I think the right thing to do would, to be to pull her away and then handle the situation himself.
Might have gotten him exposed.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, dude. Like, when there is you have a different mission, you have a different mission.
Hmm. Oh, I guess that's one argument for that, I guess. But,
I hadn't really thought of it that way, but that's...
My main point was that Shinkuro's attitude in that one seems to actually, kind of comport.
It's probably not uncommon. Is that you feel it's probably not uncommon?
Yeah, that it's that's an example of the bystander attitude in some ways. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was sort of the point I was trying to make.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. Irregardless, I think it just that was a sad day for anime fans at the least.
Yeah.
And many Japanese people overall.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's really it's terrible, anytime somebody dies an entire world is lost. And it's And yeah, it's something that, you know, we send our best wishes and our prayers and our grief, really, you know, over to Akihabara.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's gonna affect, you know, those people for the rest of their lives. And, I mean, I've heard some overheated speculation about how this is the end of Akihabara as we know it. I think the best thing for all fans to do is to keep it going, is to come out and come shop on Sundays and to, you know, to have life go on. That we don't want to succumb to fear. We don't want to succumb to our, you know, our fear and our terror of harm in some ways. You know, otherwise, like they used to say, right after 9/11, the terrorists will have won. And take care of yourselves.
Right. And each other.
And each other.
That's from Jerry Springer. Anyway.
Exactly. And that's a great way to end this episode of Anime Diet Radio, episode 22, on a Jerry Springer note. I'm your host, Michael Huang.
And this is Raymond Hugh, and I said, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Jeremy, signing out.